You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz. Time is exactly 9 o'clock on this beautiful, beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Co-hosting once again, the Graziano Marcheschi and Graz, I didn't ask you ahead of time, the Director of Ministerial Resource Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm still trying to learn your new title because I know you're heavily
Greg,
connected
I
to
noticed
the Archdiocese.
You're wearing a nice white sweater today. Is that to lift your moods from the dark mood you were in yesterday when the Bears lost?
Oh, beyond pathetic. In fact, I'm going to nickname Cutler Lotto for pick four. Four picks in the second half. They were not all his fault. They were not. You can't blame Cutler totally. The Bear defense is ferocious, and the offense gave it away. I know they were playing their hearts out, but it's tough to lose at home. It really, when you, and the Redskins are a good team.
Do you ever preach on football?
I talk in football terms. Sure I do. Oh, yeah, definitely. It does. It was my life, so. But, you know, it was a great weekend except for the Bears losing and Notre Dame losing, Northwestern losing. So, think about it. What am I wearing a white sweater for?
Because you're a winner. In Christ Jesus, we're all winners.
Because I surrendered with the white flag. So, how was your weekend, Graz?
Wonderful.
And it goes, I can't believe
it. I did. I actually was able to do some house cleaning. I'm not working every Saturday now. It's like a whole new life. Wow.
Oh, house clean, that sounds like fun.
Well, you know, it's I have the time to do that.
Exactly. But you have a lot going on in the Archdiocese with your new position.
Yeah.
And we have an incredibly important program lined up. We do want your phone calls, questions, comments, 312-255-8408 here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. And October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Cardinal Francis George has asked pastors to preach about domestic violence this coming weekend, the last Sunday of the month. We have guests in studio to discuss this very important topic, which I think some people are in denial about it. Some are unaware of the gravity of the situation. But with us in studio, Beverly Ann Stewart, domestic violence consultant for the Office of Black Catholics, the Archdiocese of Chicago. With us also in studio, Teresa Chilchinski, coordinator of domestic violence services at Alexian Brothers Interfaith Parish Support Services. And also with us in studio, Carmen Patlin, the social concerns director for the Most Blessed Trinity Parish in Waukegan. And we're waiting for Rosie Viquez, chair of the Office for Peace and Justice Domestic Violence Committee in the Archdiocese. To Beverly, Ann, and Teresa, and Carmen, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you.
And you're really great to have all of you here. I want to do read as we begin. Cardinal Francis George wrote a letter to all the pastors of the Archdiocese, again, as I mentioned, to preach this weekend about domestic violence. But also attached to his letter was a four-page summary of preaching on domestic violence by Father Chuck Dahm, a Dominican priest who is outstanding in the area of doing research on domestic violence. He's heavily into immigration. And I have to share this with you for our listeners. When we examine the statistics about domestic violence, it is surprising to learn how common it is. That is because it is largely hidden. Most victims try to hide their abuse from family and friends and even their doctor and their priest. They suffer in secret behind closed doors, often embarrassed by their abuse. In fact, domestic violence is rampant in our society. The statistics prove it as an epidemic proportion. Listen to these statistics. Every 15 seconds, a woman is battered in the U.S. One in three or four women, about 30%, is beaten once in her lifetime. Imagine one out of every four women has been beaten in their lifetime. That means it's an epidemic. annually more than 4,000 men murder their intimate partners. And Gratz's statistic just blew me away. The Vietnam War, 58,000 U.S. soldiers died in Vietnam. During that same period of time, 54,000 women were killed by their partners in the U.S. So the Vietnam War, we talk about 58,000 soldiers being killed, which the number is accurate because I'm from the Vietnam era. Had no idea, and you never hear this, 54,000 women were killed in that same period. That's the same number by their partners in the U.S. And certainly some men are abused, but at least 93% of the victims of domestic abuse are women. And violence is the leading cause of injury to women between the ages of 15 and 44. And here's something that people would truly lose a bet on, that it is commonly thought that domestic violence is more prevalent in certain ethnic communities, such as among Hispanics and Afro-Americans. Social research demonstrates, however, that the incidence of domestic violence is practically the same across ethnic as well as social economic class lines. So that's very interesting. So again, 312-255-8408. Questions, comments you have on this incredibly important topic. So maybe I could ask...
I need to take a deep breath. That was really demoralizing, hearing all those statistics. I mean, the numbers of the women who are killed just absolutely blows me away.
Equal the number of men from Vietnam War.
Had no idea.
Yeah, and it, you know, maybe it's a way to get into the program. And it's, you know, we have an hour, and it's going to go by much too quickly. For our listeners, either Carmen, Teresa, Beverly Ann, define domestic violence. What is a good working definition that you have used? Who would like to open this up? Teresa?
Sure. Domestic violence is defined as a pattern of behaviors where one partner is trying to control and isolate another partner. So it's not necessarily one single incident, because that's what we usually think about when we hear domestic violence, something specific that happened, usually something physical. But it's usually a long process, and it's pattern of not only physical abuse, but also emotional, sexual, spiritual, economic. So it's a long, and usually something that progress over time. In domestic violence, there.
Now, what do you mean progresses over time? Say something about that, Teresa.
The incidents usually happen more often and are more severe with time. So, in the beginning of the relationship, most of our women would describe incidents that are emotional and happen not as often, and then with time, it progresses.
Give us the profile of an abuser. I don't know if there's a typical abuser. But are these men who are violent in other aspects of their lives, or does it only manifest within the relationship with their intimate partner?
Well, that's hard to say. And I'm Beverly Ann. It's hard to say, and I say that because of the character traits of the perpetrator. You have some that appear to other people to be docile, but when they get home behind closed doors, they're angry. Mm. They're mean. But then you have those that are mean across the board, with you, with Teresa, with myself. And so you just can't quite pick out a definition as to who is and who isn't.
See, I think it's interesting.
Looks are deceiving.
Beverly Ann, someone who is very kind on the outside, you know, in terms of public aura, what a wonderful man, that we'd be shocked to learn that he is, you know, into domestic violence regarding a spouse. Someone who is mean to all people, you may say, oh, this person has that tendency, but it fascinates me when we sometimes see the public person of an individual. But what goes beyond closed doors is a whole different ballgame.
Exactly.
We're going to need to go to a break. We're talking about this very important topic of domestic abuse. It's an issue that has touched the life of someone you know. So please stay tuned. You're going to hear a lot of very helpful information. We'll be right back.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. That's the theme for the 2010 Chicago Catechetical Conference. Join us November 5th and 6th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont for prayerful liturgies, inspiring speakers, and a chance to network with other faith-filled people.
The Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry, in partnership with the Office for Catholic Schools, organizes this annual event. The conference provides opportunities for catechist certification and ongoing faith formation and enrichment. It offers seminars for teachers, catechists, adult leaders, youth ministers, and the people in the pews who want to enhance their faith.
We look forward to seeing you on Friday and Saturday, November 5th and 6th, at the Stevens Convention Center. Call us at 312-534-8039 or log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org to register. That's 312-534-8039.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. Celebrate our faith at the Chicago Catechetical Conference. Let us rejoice as one.
Faith, family, future. Be part of the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics. Hello, I'm Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Archdiocese of Chicago Office for Black Catholics.
And I'm Devin Jones, one of the hosts of the radio program God's Praises Tell. We hope you can join us during the last week in October for this historic celebration.
There will be an opening mass celebrated by Bishop Joseph Perry at St. Albie Church on Sunday afternoon, October 24th. During the week, there will be two revivals and even a youth and young adult evening, all featuring inspirational music and speakers.
And Cardinal Francis George will celebrate the closing mass on Sunday, October 31st at St. Jude the Apostle Church in South Holland. Go to www.blackcatholicchicago.org for the full schedule of events.
That's www.blackcatholicchicago.org. Come, help us celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Office for Black Catholics.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graciano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sakowicz. Thank you for spending this part of your Monday morning with us. It is Monday in Chicago. It's probably the last of the really nice days in this...
I think you're right, Gratz.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, and we have been blessed so far this October.
If we're technically Indian summer yet, you have to have a frost before you can call it Indian summer.
Indian summer has happened in the western suburbs, but not Chicago.
Not Chicago. All right. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a very weighty subject this morning, but it's a very important one, and one that you should care about, because chances are, according to the statistics, that you know someone who's been touched by this unfortunate social phenomenon, and that is domestic abuse. Women, every 15 seconds, someone is being abused in this country, and many are being killed by their own domestic partner. We're talking with Beverly Ann Stewart and Teresa Gielczynski.
That's correct.
And Carmen Patlin. We're waiting on Rosie Viquez. We're hoping that the traffic doesn't delay her much longer. I'm assuming, Carmen, that this pattern of abuse is something that probably develops over time. Because I'm thinking that if a man manifested this kind of behavior early in a relationship, the woman would just turn around and walk away. So how does such an insidious thing develop that a man gets a hold on a woman, physically beats her, and yet for some reason she stays around?
It's really amazing to hear that question, because women tend to, or the woman that's abused tends to give the man the benefit of the doubt that it's love. He loves me, and that's the reason why he is asking me not to wear what I'm wearing, for example. Yeah. Or he loves me and he's protecting me from those friends that really aren't my friends. And before you know it, the woman has become so isolated and so dependent on this gentleman or on this individual, on the perpetrator, that she has no power and control over her life. And before she knows it, she's in the spiral cycle of power and control and a spiral cycle of domestic violence, where it starts with, I love you, that's why I really don't want you to hang out with that guy. He's not a good friend for you. And then, excuse me, then it goes to, I don't like what you're wearing. You know, it's too short. Maybe you should wear something longer. And before she knows it, she has no power and control over her life. And once she begins to disobey for 1 second, then the aggression begins. Then it's the tone of voice that changes all of a sudden, and he's loud to her. Once the man sees that she was afraid because I raised my voice, now I really got her. Then the next level is, you know what? You didn't listen to me. The hand goes up. And he smacks her across the face, and now she's really no longer in control of her life. And now since she's isolated, her friends are no longer coming around. Her family is no longer around because he's completely removed her from her safety zone.
That power and control.
That power and control.
Do you want to mention here the National Domestic Violence Hotline on the web is www.thehotline.org. www.thehotline.org. You know, please write it down. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. A question you may have regarding domestic violence in your own family, regarding maybe a loved one, a neighbor, and let me ask this, Beverly Ann, why in our society is this topic kept under the rug in terms of, like we're talking about today, people are so, they've heard the term domestic violence, domestic abuse, but it seems like people don't want to get involved or want to talk about it.
No, it's like the elephant in the room. You see the elephant in the room, but everybody ignores it. They walk around it. And I've coined the term pain in the pews in regards to our congregation. And teen violence is on the rise. Children abuse. It's just a lot of domestic violence, domestic abuse, and for various reasons, people don't want to talk about it. Shame, guilt, emotional distress. They feel that they are obligated to their loved one in regards to staying committed to the relationship. They feel that it's their business. It doesn't belong to anyone else.
Well, Teresa, let me ask you this. We see a woman wearing sunglasses or see a cut on the face, mm-hmm. and right away her response is, I took a fall. I tripped. Knowing very well she did not fall, but the husband whacked her. Why that comment?
One of the things that we hear over and over is women who feel very ashamed and very guilty. Men who are abusive are very good with making sure that they put the responsibility on somebody else or on something else. So very often, by the time you do see someone out of the house wearing sunglasses, she already heard, it's your fault, you did it, you should have not started that topic. You caused it. Now see what happened.
I want to read this other, before we go to a break here. Perhaps they are unaware they are victims because their definition of domestic violence only includes physical violence. But in fact, domestic violence is a behavior pattern based on the use of power and control of one person over another, which I know that Carmen had mentioned that earlier. Also want to say this. Some abusers will excuse themselves by blaming alcohol or drugs, or perhaps they claim it's stress that makes them violent or the abuse they suffered as children. All these factors may very well aggravate their violence, but they are not the cause. The cause is their decision to use violence to control their partner. And lastly, some men even, as you mentioned, Teresa, blame their victims, claim that if their partners were better wives or housekeepers, better mothers or more responsible, they themselves wouldn't get so mad. Basically, they're blaming the victim when the real reason for their abuse is their desire to exercise power and control over their partner.
Well, with that enlightening information, we're going to go to another break, and then we're going to come back and continue this important conversation. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's election time in Illinois, and the airwaves are filled with proposals, promises, and personal attacks from the candidates who want to be the governor of our state. Hello, I'm Bob Gilligan, Executive Director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. The U.S. bishops encourage Catholics to apply moral principles to civic life. That's why the Catholic Conference of Illinois has interviewed the candidates for Illinois governor on issues important to Catholics. What do the candidates think about the Ultrasound Opportunity Act, tuition vouchers, abolition of the death penalty, civil unions, and immigration? You can find out by going to our website, CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org. There, you'll find our candidate survey along with their views on a host of other topics. So go to CatholicConferenceofIllinois.org and be an informed voter.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with our anchor, Father Greg Sakowicz. We are grateful for the opportunity to bring you these informative programs. We're very grateful to you for caring enough about your faith to support us by listening and by taking advantage of the informative and enlightening programming that the Archdiocese is able to present. This morning we're talking about domestic violence, and we have three guests in the studio who have years of experience counseling people who've experienced this awful reality in their lives. One of the things that I think amazes a lot of people and puzzles them is that women continue to live within this horrific kind of situation. A lot of us think, why don't they just pick up and move out? You know, it's a free country and there's lots of places out there that are willing to help women. Why don't they go away?
You know, one of the things that I'm dealing with right now, I work very, very closely with many Latina women. And what's holding them back is their legal status. They don't have legal status in this country. They don't speak the language. They don't have family here, and there is nowhere to shelter them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's huge. Why don't they leave? Also, what's impairing them is that they don't realize that this is not acceptable behavior. Many of the women that I work with feel that this is normal behavior. My mom was treated this way. Dad, you know, treated my mom bad, so my husband should treat me the same way. And even the men themselves, and I'll tell you a quick story. I oversee an outreach center, and at that center, we provide free legal consultations of all different kinds of laws. And there's a gentleman that comes, and he says, I need an attorney. And, and his wife is at a distance, about 8 months pregnant, with a baby in the stroller. And he says, well, I'm on deportation. I'm a hard worker. I'm a good man. I don't do anything bad to anybody. It was just for domestic violence. And so he was deported. And his wife, I'm sure, had to follow along because she didn't speak the language and was alone here. So what do I envision is a life full of domestic violence in this home. And now it carries on to the next generation. So why don't they leave? It's really it's very sad to say that they don't leave because they don't have many options.
So in this man's mind, when he said, I'm being deported because only of domestic violence, it was like... No big deal. He's got to be kidding, because in his life, in her life, there is such a pattern, even going back to parents and grandparents and further generations back. And Beverly Ann and Therese, would you agree that, you know, one of the reasons why women don't leave is because in some cases they feel trapped? What are some other reasons, Therese, that a woman will not pick up and go. Let me share this with you. I remember someone said this. The first time a man touches a woman, it's his fault. Every time he hits her after that, it's her fault for staying there. However, it's easier said than done. Why women don't leave, because it's easy for me to say, well, pick up and go, but it's not that easy. Teresa and then Beverly Ann, reasons why women don't leave.
Right. Well, one of the main reasons is also fear. Those are men who can be very, very violent. And the women have heard over and over that if you ever decide to leave me, you will be, something happens to you, to the kids, to your family. So the fear is one of the main reasons why women stay. And unfortunately, statistics prove that that's a valid reason, because 75% of women who were killed during the process of separation or after they left.
So 75% of women who are killed is because they did try to do something and the man made good on his word. That's that I will hurt you or kill you. Oh. Beverly Ann?
Yes, and that comment you made, Greg, in regards to the first time is the perpetrator's fault, the second time is the victim's fault. We're giving power to the perpetrator, and that's wrong. But we stay for hope. I'm a 30-year survivor of spousal abuse, so you stay for hope that the situation's going to change.
You are a 30-year
survivor of spousal abuse, so you stay for the hope that the situation will change.
Beverly, did it start early in the relationship?
Yes, and I was overseas in Germany with a small baby. My husband was in the service. And so there was really nowhere to go.
And did, I was did it just 18, keep escalating, 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 and getting more violent and more often?
More often, more violent, until I just couldn't take it any longer. And the neighbors were helping out. There were times they would hear us argue. And I was wondering how the police got there so fast. It was by the grace of God. The neighbors were calling. And then it got to the point that I began to fight back. And that's when I became afraid. I became afraid of myself.
Talk a little bit about the impact on the children and the role that the children play in all of this. Are the kids one of the factors why women stay?
Yeah, they're one of the factors why women stay, but also one of the factors why women leave. Hmm. One of the statistics that we had related to kids is 3.3 million of children witness domestic violence at home.
Wow.
And those are statistics that are from police, hospitals, but FBI believes that including unreported cases, the number could be higher, much higher, almost 25 million of children
now
witness
domestic violence. It's said
violence.
That domestic abuse is learned behavior.
It is
that mm-hmm. how it's learned?
Yes.
Because a child observed mm-hmm. his parents, mm-hmm. his
Absolutely.
Father doing this, and mm-hmm. so he grows up that way?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the women that I deal with and am currently dealing with, she and her husband are divorced now, and she has an 8-year-old daughter who has learned the behavior so well that she now is the perpetrator. She now belittles and mistreats and threatens mom because she says, Dad did it to you, and you cried when he did it. So you were mean to me. Now I'm going to do this to you, and you're going to cry. So it's learned behavior. And it's amazing how you can witness that the cycle of how the cycle of violence mm-hmm. continues.
The thing is, before we go to a break here, I think it's important for our listeners to know when we deal with domestic violence, we think in terms of just a woman being physically mm-hmm. battered. However, much of it, mm-hmm. and this is like tackling fog because you don't see it, it's that verbal abuse
yes.
about being put down. You're mm-hmm. ugly, you're fat, you come from a bad neighborhood, you were junk as a kid.
Or even, Greg, subtly... you have, oh, no, don't do that. Don't eat that. Oh, I don't want to talk about it now. It's control. I'll talk about what I want to talk about when I want to talk about it. I don't want to hear what you has to say, but in a very quiet tone of voice or something. So, in other words, you have to begin to learn the different signs, telltale
exactly.
signs of abuse, you know, and how it's done reflectively.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. And our guests are Beverly Ann Stewart, Teresa Jelczynski, and Carmen Patlin. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Please call with a question or comment you have regarding domestic violence. Now is an opportunity. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good to have you with us, and thank you for listening. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Ministerial Resource Development, co-hosting with Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston.
Right.
And we are very delighted to have four guests on the program this morning, in addition to Beverly Ann Stewart and Teresa Yelchinsky and Carmen Patlin. We now have Rosie Viquez, who's joining us by telephone. Welcome, Rosie.
Welcome, Gretz.
Good morning, Rosie.
I'm so sorry.
That's
but I'm
okay.
That's okay.
Some stomach flu, and so if I have to leave you suddenly, you'll understand.
Ooh, no. Hope you're feeling better. Wow. No,
Well, in that case, we're glad you're on by phone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Delighted.
Listen, you've been involved in this issue for a long time, and you now chair the Domestic Abuse Committee for the Office of Peace and Justice. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this work and what your committee does.
I became involved basically because I found out through some education that I was a victim. And it wasn't until I went through some counseling and also talking to my pastor, he gave me some spiritual advice on what to do. And that empowered me, so I...
Can I ask you to back up just a second? Because
sure.
I think what you said is very significant. You said you found out, you discovered through some education, through some counseling, that you were a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit. I mean, I think a lot of us would think, well, wait a minute. How does a person not know that they're being abused? But I'm assuming you're not alone in that experience. Why did it take that kind of input to realize you were being victimized?
For me, it was more emotional abuse, psychological abuse, and you think that as long as he's not hitting me, I thought it was okay, that it wasn't domestic violence. And I think that's one of the common misunderstandings about the abuse, that it has to be physical or else it's not abuse. And so I have been working at a parish with a religious education program, and I had several mothers come up to me and tell me they wanted to talk to me. They were having problems at home, and I didn't know how to help them, so I decided to take a 40-hour training at the Battered Women's Network, and it was through the process of education there, thinking I'm going to help other women, that I realized I was a victim myself, and it was emotional and psychological abuse. So I think that was very important, and I felt that it was good for other people to be educated on that as well, especially in the church, because of so many myths.
Now, one thing we have not even touched upon is what I call domestic violence toward children, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden the father is, you know, and again, he may not be putting a finger on the child, but really putting the child down. You're no good. You should never have been born. You're a lousy student. You didn't make the football team. And it goes on and on and on. I'm not talking about even physical abuse toward a child, but that, like toward the mother, the real verbal put-downs. Beverly, you're shaking your head.
Oh, yes, because, you know, you see it often done with the sports. You're not living up to it. You're not going to be the lawyer. You're not going to be the doctor. You're not any good. Your homework is just totally depressing.
Yeah. And another thing I want to switch gears a little bit, and is very important, is the area of faith as it connects with domestic violence and also being connected to a faith community, a particular parish. Beverly, we talked about this a little bit during the break. Just say something about that, Beverly Ann.
Well, I had to think about when I went in for my counseling to my pastor. And so we're talking back in the late 70s. And so I went back after speaking with my pastor. And my husband was with me in regards to being counseled, which is not a good thing, because he's the perpetrator. We should be counseled separately. So having said that, I ended up going back into the relationship. And so there's a lot of things in regards to coming from a faith standpoint and looking out those lenses. And where do we have to go for shelter? You know, if we leave, where are we going? If he's very abusive, there are family members and maybe the people in the church that are scared to even help you. You know, so there's a different variances as to why the faith community, what the faith community can do.
Teresa, say something about the faith and the faith community regarding the whole issue of domestic violence.
Well, I strongly believe that spiritual aspect of us as human beings is extremely important, and not including it in helping victims, it's just setting it up for failure. We all do have some type of spirituality, whether we believe in God or a higher power or whatever it is. But so that has to be included. And unfortunately, men who are abusive very often use that against women. So using scripture saying you have to forgive me because that's what God does. That's what God teaches us. You have to, or family members would say, that's your cross, you have to carry it. The fear that women who would separate will not be included in church any longer. They wouldn't be able to go to communion if they decide to divorce him. It's another reason why women have such a difficulty separating and feel so isolated.
You know, I think it's remarkable that Cardinal George is asking all of the priests in the diocese to preach about domestic violence. You know, Father Chuck Dom talks about how, in some ways, the church hasn't been real helpful in the past, because maybe a woman would come to a priest and he would, in ignorance, obviously not out of any kind of ill will, some misguided good intentions, he would say, oh, go back, you know, do your best, try a little harder. And I can't say that I've ever heard a homily preached about domestic abuse. You know, priests often talk about the importance of marriages staying together, but they don't talk about this particular crime mm-hmm. that happens within mm-hmm. families and how a woman can and should walk away from that.
We're going to go to a break here before then Gratz gets into the next topic here. We are listening to Catholic Community of Faith here on Relevant Radio 950. I am Father Greg Sackwitz along with Gratz Markeski. The time is 940. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Maybe for a caller, have you ever been involved in a domestic violent relationship? Give us a call and tell us about it here on Relevant Radio 950. We'll be back right after a break.
George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. We are talking this morning about a very significant issue, domestic abuse, a reality that's touched the lives of about a quarter or more of women within this country, crossing all social, economic, racial, and ethnic classes. It's truly mind-boggling. Father Greg and I are sitting here a little bit stunned as we hear these statistics, particularly about the number of women who are killed each year by their domestic partner. We have a caller who has a comment to share. It's an anonymous caller. We welcome you to our program this morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very kindly. The reason why I'm calling is because my ex-husband was also in the military, and he was so angry with the government and different things and so frustrated. He did take out some on me, but it wasn't mentioned to too many people in the family. But also, coming from a family of certain professional people that were involved in safety and so forth with other families, different things went on in my own family where I was also abused, verbally as well as basically put in my place. And it seems like there's an awful lot of people that find out if somebody's having marital problems or whatever. I had some of my ex-husband's friends at work call me up and say, "Well, you know, I understand that your husband's gone. How about if I come over?" Or some of the men that have the attitude that it's very prevalent that a woman isn't worth her weight or anything as far as spiritually, physically, or psychologically, and I never realized that, really want to express it because I'm sure that in certain circumstances the children are even abused and so forth, and it's very important that people who are trained in this area handle it and not outsiders, because they come to the point, well, we're going to handle it for you and take care of that person. And that's not the way to handle it. That's literally vigilantism. But anyway, thank you very much. Please pray for all of us. And
I have a quick question then, and question for you. How many years were you in an abusive relationship before you did something about it?
I was afraid to, because
How many years were you in the relationship before you did something about it?
Not until I had a nervous breakdown.
Wow. Mm. Well, thank you very, very much for your
phone
call.
And there are still some people that would like to bring me down, but my attitude is, I believe in God and I believe in my faith, and thank God for Father Farley, because he understands the military. Perhaps if I would have had, help at that time, some of the stuff that had gone on in my family would have come out, but it wasn't done that way. And many people, like I said, who act professionally are not professionals and are unable to handle the situation, do not understand what's going on.
That's an important point.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call, and I know that our prayers are with you, and I really appreciate your sharing part of your story, because by sharing your story, you are touching into the life of somebody else who's saying, yes, I know what you've gone through or going through right now. Rosie, respond to the lady who just called. Do you see this over and over again, this story that our caller just gave here on Relevant Radio?
Yes, I think when women are, they feel trapped. Somebody described it as being in a black hole and not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And for someone in the faith community to reach out to the person and to listen to them and show some sign of support, I think is the best thing that we can do as a church. The person automatically will connect to a resource. You know, that's part of our job with the community, trying to connect them to either Teresa. She has this ministry, a support group. Carmen's been doing a great job over at Most Blessed Trinity, setting up the support network so that when something happens, the person knows that they have some place to turn to, and that God is not abandoning them, that God has not left them alone, or that he is punishing them. Sometimes women feel that they're being punished for something they did.
Well, you four women and many others, I'm sure, are part of the good news in this whole situation. And I think we need to focus on that for a bit now. Where can people get help? Obviously, there are social agencies. And as the caller pointed out, it's important to get with people who know what they're doing and who can really be helpful. So let's give some information about if some woman finds herself in the midst of this, where's the first place that she can turn to get help?
In regards to the African American community, because the resources that are in our community are not as prevalent, not as at hand, we do have the Institute on Domestic Violence in the African American community, and that number is 1-877-643-8222.
The number once again, Beverly
is
Ann,
1-877-643-8222.
And Teresa, do you have a number for people to call, or Carmen?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, one of the numbers that you can start out with is the domestic violence hotline.
Yes.
I think that's a good starting point, because there's many different resources with the area where you live and trying to find something that it's in your area, it's always a good start. The number that well, I can start with my own number.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
For our agency, it's 847-230-3749.
The number once again, Teresa.
847-230-3749. And unfortunately, because we do work in the suburbs, there's not a lot of services. The farther you go, it seems like there's less services because there's still that belief that there's no violence in the suburbs.
We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Graziano Marcheschi, and our phone number 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. A question you may have, a comment, maybe a domestic violence in your own family, your own relationship. Share it with us here on Relevant Radio 950. We'll be back after a break. And do not touch that dial.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. The 4th Annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place on Saturday, November 13th at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food by Cafe Bianda, cupcakes by Amy Beck Cake Design, an incredible lineup of silent auction items including a week's stay in the Bahamas, open bar featuring Mad Crack Energy Drink and Svedka Vodka, casino gaming, raffle prizes, and much more. Tickets are only $75 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/casino night. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21, so grab your friends and game with us for a great cause. Proceeds will benefit the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, and shelter to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake counties. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. For details, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your communities.
Monday morning in Chicago. You've made a wonderful choice. You're listening to Catholic Radio on AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sackowitz. We're talking today about domestic abuse, and we've been giving out information about where to call if you or someone you know are victims of this terrible violence. Carmen, tell us about the programs that you have in the far north suburbs, particularly those that are Latina sensitive.
I think it's so important that we realize that every culture is different and every culture has different needs. I work out of Waukegan, Illinois, which is very north from here, and I operate a support group for women, for children, and for men. And our phone number is 847-775-0858.
The number once again.
847-775-0858.
Now, what can parishes do?
We should mention before we go on
That
there is also a national hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233.
The number once again, Gratz.
800-799-SAFE. 799-7233.
And that is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, www.thehotline.org. Please take these numbers down. Mentioned, Beverly Ann, you're about to respond. What can parishes do to be proactive in this very important area?
Just small things, and one of them is the train-to-trainer workshops, developing ministries, make the congregation aware, putting out literature, whether it's in the ladies' bathroom, making it more discreet, where it's not too visible on the back table. You can put it in the bathroom and you can just tear off a little number. Making it part of the parish council, talking about it at meetings, and definitely having more sermons about it.
So really talking about consciousness raising.
Consciousness mm-hmm. raising. That's okay. a good place to start.
And then you're going to add something to Teresa or Carmen?
I think very important that we create programming that's preventative programming, that the parishioners are really aware that this is learned behavior and that this is not acceptable behavior, that we are all loved human beings by our Lord, and that way we need to, and that therefore we need to respect each other just as that. Preventative programming is very important.
And Rosie, what would you want to add to it? It's already not been said so far.
Yes, I agree with Carmen. I think working with children when they're very young, that would help to break that cycle from developing, or the behavior from developing. I think that would be helpful. And the Office for Peace and Justice has the committee on domestic violence, and Father Chuck has actually gone out to several parishes. He preaches on the weekends and helps the parishes actually develop a ministry in their parish, so that when a victim does call into their office, they'll know how to respond and how to help and support the victim and the families.
Teresa, you gave us a list of very helpful advice contributed by Paula Wellnitz. Let me just pick out a few. If you suspect abuse, ask discreet questions in private. So I'm assuming that's advice for anyone. It's not just for a professional or for a priest. If you have a friend and you suspect abuse, don't right. wait for them. It's okay to take the initiative and ask discreet questions.
It's okay to ask discreet questions. Do it in private, because it is such a difficult topic to talk about. And a lot of women are not, don't know what to expect, whether or not they're going to be understood or they're going to be judged and criticized.
Another piece of advice, believe the victim and don't minimize her feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens a lot that abusers are very charming. So for people who look at the relationship from outside, it seems like, you know, this is not someone who would be hurting anyone. That's not a man who would be abusive.
So a woman says, but my husband Bob is beating me, and you know Bob, and you go, oh no, that can't be
it
true.
It can't be him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one thing that people sometimes are unaware of is the public persona versus what happens behind closed doors. And it's a whole different ball game. So I think it's so important just to believe the person you are talking to. To
yes.
believe that person. Is there another one on that list there,
well,
Gratz?
One that I think is be aware of the red flags of domestic abuse. Name a couple of those for us.
Fear, isolation, control. Those are like the main things. If you see a woman who is afraid of her husband, who is afraid how he's going to react, a woman who constantly feels like she needs to ask him for permission, she won't give you an answer until she talks to him, that would be something that could suggest that she's being controlled.
Okay, we need to bring today's program to a close. And again, our number's been 312-255-8408. We've given different numbers out. I want to thank in a very special way Rosie Viquez, the chair of the Office for Peace and Justice Domestic Violence Committee, the Archdiocese of Chicago, Beverly Ann Stewart, the Domestic Violence Consultant for the Office of Black Catholics in the Archdiocese, Teresa Jelczynski, the Coordinator of Domestic Violence Services at Alexian Brothers Interfaith Parish Support Services, and Carmen Patlin, the Social Concerns Director for Most Blessed Trinity Parish in Waukegan. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to co-host. Excellent job again.
There's a lot of help out there.
Thank you.
And to get, you know, please to get the help. Also, special thanks to our producer today, Brandon Fiegel, and an assistant producer, Jim Dish. And Brandon, for your first time today, did an excellent job, buddy. Great job. May have a future in this. And to our excellent, outstanding engineer, Michael May. To all our listeners, God bless. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.